Blog Talk Radio. Hi, this is Marnie Swedberg, and I welcome you to Marnie and Friends, a place where leaders share practical, helpful, and encouraging ways to get anything important done faster, better, and smarter. Right now, I encourage you to sit back, buckle up, and join us for fun, laughter, practical help, and clear thinking, the kind of discussion that focuses our attention off of the fluff and onto the most important stuff in life. Again, welcome to Marnie's Friends. Let's get going. Hi, everybody. This is Marnie, and I am excited to have you with us for another edition of Marnie's Friends. Today is one of my favorite types of shows to host. It's an amazing women segment, and we get to meet several wonderful, amazing women from all over the country of the United States, and we will be sharing, they're going to each share three of their main life tips and strategies, things that are maybe unique to them or things that you can learn from and adapt into your own life. Before we bring our first guest in, who is Savilla Morgan from Florida, we are going to spend just a couple minutes thinking about one of the strategies that I like to use myself, and I wanted to share this with you at the beginning of the hour because for the rest of the hour, I'm going to let them share their best strategies, but I had this one on my heart today, and I wanted to just let you know about it. Sometimes someone that you're with is possibly even someone that's very close to you that you're with every day. Maybe you work with this person or maybe you live with this person. Maybe you report to this person. But they're definitely a close integral part of your life. But they have a way of really hurting you, or they have a way of saying things that sting, or they have a way of asking you to do things that are just always hard for you. And it's the same person that seems to bubble to the surface for you repeatedly, that this person's hard for you to deal with. This person makes it hard for you to be loving and kind in response. And possibly you're right now thinking, I don't have anybody like that in my life. And if you don't, that's wonderful. Count your blessings. And if you do, that's wonderful. Count your blessings. Because really that person is there to help you recognize the places where you're still a little bit wounded. One of the things that they teach you when you go through, like Al-Anon for someone who's in AA, one of the things you're taught is that the person who's withdrawing from alcohol, who's going to kind of become kind of a nasty person for a little while there because they have to learn to live without their addictive substance, if you can be okay with yourself, with who you are, you'll be able to handle what they throw at you because they're just going to try to, you know, pick at your weaknesses and demean you in ways that they can. So if you're okay with you, you'll be okay with them. That's the same thing all of us have to learn. When we're dealing with a person and it's difficult for us to be okay with that person, remember, it's because we're not okay with us. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, severe abuse. I'm talking about the normal kind of abuse that happens in relationships where there's a person who just likes to pick on your weaknesses, who likes to kind of throw their weight around a little bit in your life. What I encourage you to do is what I do. When I have someone like that in my life, what I do is I ask God for a verse, for a special Bible verse for that person, just for that person, and I memorize it. And then whenever that person, I can't remember what that phrase is now, where someone is triggering you, they're setting you off, they're kind of punching your buttons, I think is what we say. When someone is setting you off like that, what you do then is you just kick right into praise and you say, thank you, God, that I have the opportunity right now to pray this verse for this person. And then you just pray the verse for them. And one of the verses that I really like is found in Colossians 1, verse 9. It goes like this. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more and extend to its fullest development in knowledge and all keen insight. Okay, so now you wouldn't want to pray that out loud to the person. You can just pray that silently, and you will be amazed how it will refresh your heart to thank God that you have that person in your life. They're not always irritating. They're not always problematic, or even if they are always problematic, you know, what happens is that maybe they're providing income for you. Maybe they're providing some kind of a service that God wants them to provide for you. So there's something to be thankful about for that person. And then to just lift them to the throne of God and just leave them there and let God take care of them. So that is my number one piece of advice for you. If you have someone who's a little bit challenging in your life, to ask God to help you find the special verse for that person. If you can't, just use Colossians 1 verse 9 and pray. Every time they trigger you, pray. And then once you're done praying, say, now, I need to ask God, what does he want to change in me through this person's existence in my life? So that's my big tip for you today, and we are going to come right back and introduce our first guest. We'll be right back. Hi, this is Marnie, and we are back with another guest here on our Amazing Women program. Today we're going to be interviewing Sevilla Morgan. She's from St. Cloud, Florida. She's the author of the book Down Again. She's a student who is just finishing up her bachelor's degree in management, and then she's going to go on for her MBA. She's a speaker at womenspeakers.com, and I'm excited to introduce you today to Sevilla Morgan. Hi, Sevilla. Okay, we don't quite have her here yet. Sevilla, can you hear us now? Oh, there we go. We got you now. Very good. Well, it's so wonderful that you could join us today.
Thank you.
And you are in the middle of finishing up a bachelor's degree.
I'm actually near the end. I have 3 classes left after the one I'm in now. So
that's great. Woo-hoo. That's great. Yeah. How long of a process has this been for you?
Honestly, 20 years.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's okay.
I started school and just never finished. I allowed life to get in the way, and so I'm finally finishing now, and I'm just so excited about it.
That's great, and I always just encourage you listeners to just be encouraged that there are seasons. There's seasons, and sometimes we put a dream on hold for a while, and then God brings us back around to it later, so that's pretty cool. Well, congratulations on that. One of the things that you like to do, Sevilla, is you're a giver. Will you tell us about that life strategy that you adopt?
I think for some people it's a life strategy, and for others it's just part of their personality. And I believe for me, thankfully it's a part of my personality, but more and more I'm learning from church, from the pastor, that it's a good thing to do. Because the more you give, the more you get from God. So I love to know that there's nothing that I can hang on to. And honestly, there was probably a time in my life that kind of pushed me into giving as well, when I basically had to give everything away that I had, because it was a low moment in my life and I had to just give away. I had to give my furniture away. I had to sell my home. I just had to give all the beautiful things that I had away. And I think it was a teaching moment for me to learn that there's nothing on this planet that I should hang on to so tightly that if God says to give it, that I cannot give it.
Wow. Well, that is a huge lesson. I remember there was a couple in our church whose house burned down on Christmas Eve, and it just burned right to the ground. And he said to me afterwards, he said, the only things we have left are the things we had given away. So they had, been very generous through the years and given away, some dishes and different things. And people would give them all back then after the fire. And who would think? But giving is an amazing thing, isn't it? It not only makes you feel good, but it's actually powerful in the eternal realm.
It is very powerful.
Hmm. Another thing you do is you send out greeting cards. I love this one.
I do. Every Christmas I send cards. I love sending thank you cards. I know everybody's online these days, and it's just so easy to send a quick email. And nobody loves their BlackBerry more than I do. I'm just, I'm in love with my BlackBerry. But I think there's just something more so personal about sending Christmas cards every year. And it's, the list grows. But people are just so thankful. Some of my friends have been getting them for 20 years. And they're just so happy. And if they're late, they ask me, where's my card? So I just think it's just a personal touch for at least once a year to be able to do something like that.
Oh, that's great. I know I sure do love getting like a real piece of mail instead of just a bill or something. It is much more rare now. I know I used to write a lot of handwritten letters, and I hardly ever do now. Just thank you notes maybe, but it's really a treat. Well, that's really cool. And then your last thing is to encourage people. And how do you most like to encourage people?
I find that people tend to tell me their problems. I don't know if I have that kind of personality or that kind of faith, but people tend to be able to tell me things that they just would not be able to tell anyone else. And I keep it in my head. There are things in my head that will go with me to the grave because I just have not told, because it was told to me in confidence. So I like to encourage people and tell them that as long as you're alive, that, you know, never give up. Because if you just learn to trust God, no matter how the situation looks and no matter how you feel about the situation, if you obey God, no matter how crazy the situation seems and whatever it is he's telling you to do, just obey him completely. And if you ask him to send you the right friends and the right mentors, I believe that's a triple foundation right there. And there's a verse in the Bible about the three tied cord. I can't remember exactly what the verse is, but that's, you know, if you do those three things throughout life, that's encouragement, and those are the things that you remember to do, then no matter what comes, you can handle it, and you can handle it with God.
Well, that is wonderful. I am so grateful that you are available as a speaker, and if you're interested in getting to know more about Sevilla, you can visit her over at womenspeakers.com or at her own website, sevillamorgan.com. Thank you for being here, Sevilla.
Maureen, thank you so much. I appreciate your time today. You have a great rest of the day.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
And we'll be right back with another amazing woman. Well, hi, this is Marnie Swedberg, and we are talking today with some amazing women from all over the United States, and we are going to go ahead now and talk with Dee Dee Trant. She is calling in from California. She's a speaker, and I'm just hang on 1 second here. We're going to see if we can capture you. Dee Dee, are you here?
I'm on the phone right now. Can you hear me?
We can hear you. Fantastic. Well, you have been an online friend and associate of mine for many years, Dee Dee, and you are of upcloseministries.org is the name of your website and your ministry. You do all kinds of stuff with that ministry, as well as speak and do women's retreats and events and all kinds of stuff like that. Maybe just bring us up to speed a minute about some of the fun things that you've been doing lately.
Well, what I've been doing lately, well, let me just tell you one thing, and that's how to say my name, because it's not said Dee Dee, it's Debbie.
It is so, Debbie.
Yeah,
and all these years, every time I've seen it, it's been Dee Dee. You're Dee Dee to me.
and when you look at my picture, you'll see that I always take pictures with bees.
Right.
And that's because that has to do with my story, the trauma that was a part of my upbringing, that as I healed from it, the Lord gave me a new name. And when he did that, he identified me with bees. And so that's why it's Debbie, and I take pictures with bees, because it's very common for people, until they personally talk with me, to not understand the correlation between the bees and my name. And visuals help people to remember what you say. So one of the things that I do that I think is so much fun and that I love to do with women is I love using visuals. Because when you go to events, you want to be able to remember it. You know, you take a lot of your time looking for help, looking for advice, looking for good counsel. And many times you go to absolutely wonderful, fun, outstanding things, but, you know, a week later, you can't quite remember the details of that.
Right.
And so what I do is I use visuals. What I've begun to do in the last 3 or 4 years is to hold conferences on emotional healing. Hmm. And that's called Finding Repair. And I'm so excited because in our connection, I've been studying some of the materials you have as a coach, and some of those are publishing. And what I'm working on right now is the studies that I do on emotional healing being able to be done where it's online.
Excellent.
Because nowadays, you know, a lot of people, they can't go out. Maybe they have health issues. Maybe they're in areas where they can't get out. And I'm excited. I'm still studying it, and I'm still putting everything together because I've been, what I do is I'll do a conference, and then I offer an in-depth 8-week Bible study to show women how to use the Word of God to bring about healing that they might not ever have felt before. Because we sit in church and we hear what God says to us in church, but many times there's part of it that we just don't get. We can't make it work. Mm-hmm. We feel like people, you know, those things like one typical thing that I had a real hard time with when I was, you know, kind of traumatized trying, and I was a Christian. I'm really called to Christian women who have had difficulty in growing up that has then created a feeling of lack of intimacy with God, where they might not even realize it, but they can't seem to quite get what everybody else has. And because I had that, I understood where it came from.
Now, DB, let's go back a little bit and just fill people in on your story just a bit, and we only have a couple minutes here. But you are the caregiver to your brother, Mark, who's 40, and
yes,
he has Down syndrome and has since he was just a baby, really. And both of your parents died within a very short time of each other. When you talk to people about finding repair, spiritual and emotional healing, you are coming from a place where you understand what that feels like, aren't you?
Oh, absolutely, and that's part of why one of my biggest things with women is to try to let them know how wonderful life can be, and that even though they may feel like they're not like other people, no one would ever understand what they've ever been through.
Right.
They kind of cover themselves in a sense of darkness. And that's not what God wants for them. And typically what will happen is they'll hear what's happened to me. And we really want people to help us that have been there and done that. And they can say to us, I know exactly what you're thinking. I can't tell you how many times, Marnie, I have had women that are talking to me and I tell them what I know they're thinking. And they look shocked, but it's because I lived it. And,
right,
you know, I have 12 brothers and sisters.
12,
my mom and
wow.
Dad, yes, and I was number 6.
Huh.
But my mom and dad were violent alcoholics.
Mm-hmm.
And so they damaged many of us. I've lost 5 of my brothers from drugs and alcohol. So
wow.
Of the 12, there's
wow.
only 7 left. And
wow.
one of them, we're not even sure if he's still around.
Mm.
We'll never hear from him because,
wow.
you know, the lifestyle he lived. But, yes, and when my mom passed away, I took my little brother. And I never thought I would. I mean, I was not going to do that. But I have learned through my own trauma, my own dealing with it, that those verses where the Lord says that he can do good things, all things work out for good for those that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. You know, I wouldn't have picked some of the purposes he's placed on my life.
Right, right.
And they have been hard.
Yeah.
And they're a lot of work. And so when women meet me, I love to tell them and encourage them that there's always time. We always think we're running out of time. No, we're not. That's a lie from the enemy. There's always time. And if you'll engage with God and take the time he needs you to, so you will reach a whole new level in your relationship with the Lord, and you will be healed.
Mm.
Now, healing takes a lifetime. It is not a one-time thing. I tell women also that I will never be completely healed until the day Jesus takes my hand. Because there's trauma that reaches us every day, we're continuing to live. So even though we have trauma from maybe being raised, Then we have trauma that wraps around other things, which might be that we went through a divorce,
yeah,
or lost our house, or someone died. Those are traumas. They're parts that filter through our lives.
And so it's a lifetime journey. So grateful that you could join us today. If you guys want to learn more about DV, you can visit upcloseministries.org or visit womenspeakers.com. Thank you, DV.
Thank you, Mom. Thank
you, Marnie. I still called you the wrong name. You know, honestly, for years I've been saying it, DV, every time I've seen your name.
Yeah,
it'll take me years to undo it.
Yeah, I will. But you know what? I love you. Thank you so much for all you do, and I appreciate all your coaching and motivation. It really means a lot.
Oh, thanks. Love you, Debbie. Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, we're going to come right back with our next Inspiring Amazing Women. We'll be right back. Going to take just a hiccup breath here. I have unmuted the caller from 281. The end of your phone number is 3546, but I am not sure if you are one of our guests or just a listener. So caller from area 281 ending in 3546. Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Hi, Marnie. This is Judah Myers.
It is. Okay, you're calling in from a different number, Judah, and I just didn't want to start interviewing
you. Oh,
okay,
that's the one I had.
Okay, very well. Well, we are going to come right back and really introduce you properly, and we'll just be right back in just a moment. Thank you all for just being patient with life. Sometimes we don't get everything perfect. I don't know, does that ever happen to you? Happens to me all the time. So we're going to take a breath here, and we're going to bring Judah in properly. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Marnie, and we are doing amazing women interviews today with gals from all over the United States. And our next guest is Judah Myers. She hails from Humble, Texas, and she's been married 23 years. She has two sons and four grandsons. She's involved in her church, but she's also a speaker, singer, songwriter, author, and artist founder of Choices for Life, Restoring Honor and Dignity to Women and Children of Rape Conception. She herself was conceived in an eight-man rape. And she has dedicated her life to Christ and is sharing healing and hope with many women across the country and across the world who need that. Well, welcome to you, Judah.
Thank you so much. I am honored that you would have me on.
Well, I'm excited. I'm excited to hear a little bit more of your story and also to share you with our listeners today. One of the things you love to do, Judah, is you love to work with gals who were conceived by rape or have had or have been raped, and to encourage them that life is life no matter how it was conceived. That's basically your platform. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, you know, I grew up not knowing that I was conceived in rape, so I had a normal life. I did know that I was adopted, so I did want to know more about my biological side. Most adoptees are curious. And so when I did find, in 2003, I went got some records, and I was told that my mother had been raped. I didn't know all the details. It almost destroyed my life. And I realized right there that the stigma that's on people like us and our mothers is unwarranted. Because one minute I'm happy, I'm married, I have children, and life is good. And the next minute I find out I'm conceived in rape and I want to die, literally.
Hmm.
And had I not been a Christian, I would have committed suicide and told no one. And
wow.
So I felt like this is crazy. How is it that it's just in our mind? Really, literally, it was just in my mind. And I was at a friend's house, and I didn't tell her any of that happened. And she played a song, and I was having a nervous breakdown. I just put my head between my knees, and I saw myself falling in a black hole. She jumps off the piano bench and comes up to me, and she goes, I don't know what's going on with you, but God knew you before you were ever conceived. Boom, right at that moment, I see a hand in this vision grab my arm and jerk me into this brilliant light. And I knew she was right. So I lifted my head. I couldn't see because my eyes were blinded. And I looked in her direction, and I said, I believe it. And from that point on, because, you know, she could have used a million other words. But that was what got to my heart. God made me. You know, people had always said, oh, you're so special and all this stuff. But you know what? When you are weighed down with the enemy's lies, you really can't soak that in. And so I asked God, I said, Lord, did you really make me? Was I an accident? And I heard in my head and my heart, I heard God say, I placed you in the camp of the enemy to glorify my name. Well, let me tell you, when your creator tells, and I get goosebumps every time I say this, but listen, I'm not any more special because that's what he's done for all of us.
Right.
Earth is really not our place.
Right.
And we have been placed and called to glorify God. And that's really what it's about. So trying to rescue these people, you know, setting those captives free. And most recently, Choices for Life. We just started it. We're right about at a year old. And so most people don't do a big gala in your first 9 months. And so we did a gala. We had 8 women from 7 states that came down and stood on a stage and received the honor award for saving the life of their rape-conceived babies.
That's beautiful.
It set the audience free. It set the women free. I had no idea all that God was going to do. There was this one lady, she had been, and I would love for you to have her on someday. Connie was continually raped from the age of, well, there were 2 different people, but her one stepfather raped her from the age of 9 until 16 when she became pregnant. And her family pretty much put it all on her, said it was her fault. And 26 years later, they were still calling her horrible names. And at this point, she was afraid to come. And I said, just pray about it. She was attacked verbally by her family. The devil gave her a cardiac arrest. She ended up a couple of weeks before she came to the event, she was hauled away in an ambulance from her church. So I want to encourage people, when you go out to do something for the Lord, and even when you're just stepping out of the darkness, there's going to be an enemy that's going to put a hook in you, and you're going to think, I don't want to do this. I'm comfortable where I'm at. I don't want to do this.
Right.
But know that on the other side, it's so much better than you can imagine.
And forgiveness is just such a big part of that, isn't it?
Absolutely. And that really is the crux of it all.
Yeah, you got to get there. If you guys want to learn more about Judah and her ministry, go to choicesforlife.org, and that's spelled with a digit 4, not spelled out the word 4, but a digit 4, choicesforlife.org, or visit her over at womenspeakers.com. Judah, thank you for your life. Thank you for your ministry.
Thank you
for being here.
Thank you. God bless you.
Okay, God bless you too. All right, we're going to take a short break, and we're going to come back with another amazing woman in just a few minutes. Marnie. Welcome back to our women's edition for Amazing Women. We are interviewing gals from across the United States who have things that they can share with you that may encourage you today, may help you to live a more productive or enjoyable or I think eternally valuable life, a life that's not going to just end when you breathe your last here on earth, but that's just the beginning. And our next guest hails from Houston, Texas. She's Shamaran Whitaker, and she's also a speaker over at womenspeakers.com. Welcome to you, Shamaran.
Hi, Marnie. How are you?
Good. I have to check if I'm saying your name right.
You're very close. It's Shamaran.
Shamaran. Oh, that's pretty Marian. Okay, Shamaran. I love it. It's a beautiful name. Beautiful you. And you are the author of a book called How to Create Real Wealth, A Practical and Spiritual Guide for Women. And you also have another book called Learning to Live, A Woman's Practical and Spiritual Guide to Learning and Living Life's Lessons. I'm so excited to get you on here for just a couple minutes here today, because we get to kind of pick your brain a little bit about three of your top life strategies and tips here. And I want you to just, I love your first one so much, because it's about focus. And that's one of my purposes for existence, is to help women learn how to focus, and that's what you do too. So tell us about what you train women when you teach them how to focus. What is it that you're really teaching them?
You know, when I, they're just, actually I came to a point in my life where I said, you know, if I'm going to give myself in all of these different areas, because God just started blessing mm-hmm. me with different areas of ministry, and it was very hard for me to say no. And I finally decided, you know what, if you're going to do this, if this is the lifestyle you're going to lead, if you're going to continue to say yes to God, you're going to have to learn how to focus. You know, I always tell women, I think multitasking is way overrated. You've got to learn how to do one thing, do it well, and then move on to the next thing. And what I found myself doing was doing things, doing them really fast, and making mistakes. And Marnie, I'm a perfectionist. I hate mistakes, and that's something I'm working on, though. I'm really working on that. In fact, in my book, Learning to Live, there's a chapter in there that's entitled Make Peace with Perfection, and I wrote that chapter just for me.
Just for you, yep.
just for me, because I am that perfectionist. But I had to learn to focus, because it just doesn't pay when you try to do so many different things, and there's something that's going to fall through the cracks. There's a mistake you're always going to make, and that's what I found myself doing. So I just try to teach women, hey, when you're trying to multitask, take a step back. Pick that one thing. Make a priority list. What's the priority? What really needs to be done? Do that priority list. Start at the top of that list. Do that one thing. Do it well. And then move on to the next thing. And it doesn't mean that. I mean, it doesn't take away from anything that you're doing. It just makes it better, makes it stronger.
You bet.
That's what I taught myself first, and then I started to teach others that.
Well, that makes you a compassionate teacher, so that's good.
found that it's just so important, because, like I said, when you're stretched really thin and you're trying to do so many things but you want to do them well, you've got to learn focus. You've got to learn to be focused.
Yeah, you do, right. And I always tell people, too, people are amazed at how many things I can do at once, but I always just say, really, not multitasking as much as I'm a fast switcher. I'm able to switch my focus very completely, very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to come to a we all have to come to a point of peace about how fast we can switch. A lot of my friends, they say, I never could do that, and they weren't supposed to do that. I'm supposed to do that, not them. So that's the second thing.
When you have
right, and your second tip is how to deal with stress healthfully. Talk to us about that.
Oh, I had to learn that one, absolutely. And, as women, I learned that as I have grown older, I've had to have a deeper concern for my health and health issues. And, you know, stress will bring on those physical health issues. And I actually found myself personally dealing with health issues, and I didn't even have to go to a doctor to know what the problem was. I knew it was because of stress in my life. So I had to find a way to deal with it. It was either, okay, start saying no, 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 no to God, or you learn how to manage your life better, and then you can continue to say yes. And that's what I did. So some of the things that I did and that I encourage women to do, yoga was one of the first things that I did. I joined a yoga facility, and I absolutely love it. I actually learned that there was a totally different dimension to life. You know, we live on the outside of ourselves. Our minds are always somewhere else. And I learned how to actually go inside of myself and focus inward. And I tell you, my whole life changed. It was just a life-changing thing for me. So yoga was something that really taught me that second aspect of focusing. It taught me how to relax. Even when I'm stressed, I can relax. And it's so funny because my husband, when I miss going to yoga, my husband's like, you miss yoga today? You've got to go to yoga. You can't miss yoga.
That's kind of how I get if I don't get enough sleep.
He sees the benefits that I get from it.
Absolutely.
So he encourages me, go to yoga. Don't miss yoga today.
That's great. And a couple other things that you do, too, are reading. And sometimes you'll pack a bag and get away and just take a little break.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
But we're just about out of time, so I want to get to this third one, too. Your last one is that you're flexible. And I love Elizabeth Elliot defines humility as flexibility. How do you actually practically live out being flexible?
You know, it's something, again, that I had to learn for my own life, for my own lifestyle. And actually, in my book, Learning to Live, I actually do there's a chapter in there called Be Flexible. And again, that was another one of those chapters that I wrote for myself. But you have to be able to manage change is basically what that means.
Mm-hmm.
You know, change can come on so suddenly. You know, your life can change in an instant, and it happens all the time. It just recently happened to my sister, who was diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Her life changed in an instant.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're not flexible, when you're not able to manage that change in a healthy way, you are going to get left behind. That stress is going to overtake you. It's going to overwhelm you. So you've got to learn flexibility. And there are different tools. I wish we had time. I know my time is running out, but there's so many great tools. I want to encourage your listeners to get a copy of Learning to Live. It's an awesome book, and the thing about Learning to Live is there's so many practical tools and principles in that book. If you don't mind, can I just go through some of the chapters?
No, we just don't have time.
Oh.
We just don't. Shamari and I'd love to, but it is time for this interview to be over. But I am so grateful that you came. And listeners, you can learn more about Shamarian over at her website, shamarianwhitaker.com or womenspeakers.com. And Shamarian, thank you so much for joining us. I was so grateful to have you come today.
Thank you.
You have a wonderful day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We're going to come right back with another interview with another amazing woman. And we are doing amazing women interviews today with some of my favorite people from over at womenspeakers.com. Our next guest is Lana Vapet, and she has been a speaker available to you for your women's events for several years, and she is here to share with us some of her favorite life strategies. She's pursuing a pastoral ministry degree with Nazarene Bible College, and she's also been so involved with a ministry that I'm going to ask her to tell us just a little about here. Lana, are you here?
Yes, I am, Marnie. How are you?
Oh, fantastic. I am great.
Good.
And so excited. I love your children's home ministry in India. Tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, thank you. Well, the children's home we opened up in Lonavala, India, which is about 2 hours outside of Mumbai. And we our home there is a focus for Dalit children, and the Dalits are the lowest of the caste system in India. So they're really called the throwaway kids, the broken kids. And about 3 years ago, the Lord just opened the door for us to bring a home available to those kids who were really casted out. Those girls, the Dalit girls, are usually sold into prostitution, and the boys usually sold into drug running. So we have 24 of those kids in our home right now, and they're flourishing. And I lead missions groups into India, and that's one of our main points is going to the Hope House and being with the kids and loving on them and doing whatever projects are in the area that are necessary.
Well, I love it. I love the name of the orphanage, which is Hope House. And I love everything you do. So talk to us about your first strategy, which is to live out loud.
Oh, my goodness. Our lives are a living testimony. I mean, I think lifestyle evangelism is really where it's at. We don't talk a lot about that. You know, we go in on Sundays. We sit in our pews. We reap the knowledge of our pastors. And then we go home and we live our faith quietly. But really, our goal, step by step, is to live out loud, and that is to live every day where people see Christ in you. Now, you know, we're fallible, and we're going to slip and fall, but the goal is to get back up, brush ourselves off, and do better. And when we do that, people around us are able to see Christ in us, what it looks like to put the skin on Jesus every day.
Love that. Mm-hmm. And to do that at home and when we're out and about too, but also
absolutely.
At home for our kids. Don't let it all fall apart at home.
No, well, actually, you know what? Our first ministry, first and most important ministry is within our homes, because if we are not doing ministry within our homes, that makes it twice as hard to step outside that door and do it in our communities and, you know, across the country, wherever we're at. That our first and most important ministry is at home.
Yeah, absolutely. Your second strategy is to be intentional.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. To be intentional means to wake up every morning and to not hit the floor running, which we all do, but it's to be intentional about your day, intentional about your words, intentional about your actions. If we are intentional, then what it means is that we have a focused attention on what it is that Christ has put before us for that day. It's so easy for us to get wrapped up in the busyness that we don't stop to look at what we need to be doing. I think we all, as women, we have our lists. I'm a list maker. I have to, or else I'll forget the 20 things I'm supposed to do that day. But I'm a list maker, and that is so that I can be intentional about what I'm doing. So wouldn't the most important thing to be on my list would to be Jesus with skin? Mm-hmm. And that's to my kids and then out in my community and out in my ministry. So we really need to focus on being intentional. If we're not, I think we lose a lot of time and opportunities during our day if we don't focus on being intentional.
Lana, why don't you share with us how you work it out, like with Jesus? How do you work it out what gets to go on your list? Because there's obviously too many things to do in the world. You can't do them all. So how do you figure out which things actually make it onto your list and which things get cut?
Well, you know, I got the best advice I ever received, I think, in making this point in my life. And that is, I had a missionary friend tell me before my very, very first missionary trip to Nigeria. He's in aviation ministry, and he said, Lana, put blinders on. Because the thing is, if you don't put blinders on, the peripheral gets so big and it gets so involved that you can't see what God has put right before you. Mm-hmm. And so I have taken that into my everyday life. I put my blinders on. and I focus on what it is that God has set before me on that day. Because the parishioner can be overwhelming, because there's right. so many needs. There's so many needs for your time. There's so many needs for your attention that it can get overwhelming. But if we keep our focus on what God has put right before us, and I know that that's kind of a blanket statement, but that's really being in prayer and listening to that still small voice on what you should be doing for that day. Sometimes it's for the week. You know, when you're in ministry, you get busy, and you've got your events planned out a year or 2 years in advance, and sometimes it's hard to see that, but you put the blinders on, and you just go day by day. It's just like when God said to Israelites with the manna, and I keep going back to that in my life, because he fed them day by day. Now, he didn't bring the manna into their tents. He made them go out. He made them collect it and prepare it. So, you know, it's like the manna. It's delivered to us daily. And that's what's most important in our faith walk, is to make sure that we're collecting it daily. They didn't look out, you know, 6 months in advance. They met their physical needs day by day, which, of course, was also their spiritual needs, because God is the great provider. But it is like the manna. So we really have to keep those blinders on and focus on what God has put before us, not what is in the peripheral.
Right, and now as we do that, then we're able to not simply survive, but thrive, and that's your third tip.
Exactly. And that's our theme with our new women's conference, is thrive, because so many women are just simply getting up, and day-to-day they are surviving. But what God has for us, he wants us to thrive. He has so much for us. You know, there's that saying, bloom where you're planted, and that's much like our thrive concept, is not simply getting through the day, just surviving, but grasping onto God and allowing him to make you thrive in that day.
Excellent. Wow. This has gone altogether too fast, but I'm so delighted that you could join us today, Lana. And listeners, if you want to find out more about Lana and her ministry, you can go to lanavopat.com. And how do they find out about the Thrive conferences?
Well, you can go to my website, and there's a link to Thrive, or else you can go on www.thrivetoday.us. And that will talk more about our Thrive conferences.
Now, are the Thrive conferences just for women?
They're focused on women. However, we have had a few men sneak in and really glean some stuff from what God has for them. But they really are focused on women. You know, we're dealing with women's issues and really encouraging women where they're at.
Sure.
However, if a male or two sneaks in, then we're okay with that also.
Sure. Of course. Well, I'm asking specifically because we have the new, you're a part of the womenspeakers.com directory, but we have the new directory, womensevents.info, and that's lists all the major events coming to the cities, and we would love to get these Thrive Today events over there, too. So just sometime when you're logged in, or you can let us know where to do it, but otherwise when you're logged into your membership there, just add them right in there so people can find them. And that, for listeners, too, that site over there at womensevents.info is really cool because you can just search your own state or the surrounding states, or you can search by month. So you can see where all the major events are. And if you're having a women's only event, and it's like Lana's too, it's for women, but of course if a man comes, you're not going to probably kick him out. But you're really marketing it as a women's event. That's what we want over there, is to just fill that out so that we can have gals, even just finding it on the web, that can come and learn about Jesus and meet some cool women and get that kind of input. So we're very excited about that. Well, Lana, thank you for being my friend.
Oh,
thank you,
Marty,
for being here today.
Thanks for having me. What an absolute privilege, and I just look forward to seeing what God is doing in your ministry. It's exciting, Marty.
Okay, well, same back at you, and we'll talk to you another time. Thanks, Lana.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We'll be right back with another interview with another amazing woman. hi, this is Marnie, and welcome back to Amazing Women. We are on our last guest of the day, which this hour has flown by, but we are going to be interviewing here Tammy Meyer. She's from Palm Bay, Florida. She is a mother of three children, Valerie 19, Daniel 15, and Grace 7. She grew up as a missionary kid in Haiti. She has a bachelor's degree in communication and a master's degree in literature. She is here to share with us about the mommy season, which she talks about a lot, being a mom, but also about some life strategies that anybody can apply. So welcome to you, Tammy.
Good afternoon, Marnie.
Oh, so nice to have you here.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity, and I have certainly enjoyed listening to this past hour. It's been fascinating.
Isn't it amazing how diverse every person we've had on today, and this includes you too, but so unique, the angle of their life and what God has them doing and what's most important to them. Of course, Jesus is most important, but how he's living that out in each person is so unique and different from each other. It's just so beautiful.
God is writing some amazing stories, isn't he?
Isn't he? Yep, I like to define his history as capital H-I-S, his story. So, and he's living out history through each of us.
Yeah.
Well, Tammy, one of the things you like to do is you like to encourage marriages. And so how do you go about doing that?
Yes, I have felt that God has really pressed a message deep into my heart to tell every woman, if he could speak directly to her, that he is able to make her thrive right where she is.
Mm-hmm.
Whether her marriage is great or whether her marriage is struggling, God has thriving for
mm-hmm.
her. And I want to encourage her in that.
Mm-hmm.
And one way I do that is using something very simple that I call secrets. But these secrets are really just word pictures. And these word pictures, kind of like Debbie was telling us that these little visuals or word pictures can sometimes be very powerful in helping us understand truth. And one that I think is helpful for wives is that image of an umbrella. And a lot of women are familiar with this, that the husband's authority, according to Scripture in Ephesians 5, is like an umbrella. And if she will come underneath his authority, then she's coming under his leadership where he is to provide for her and to protect her. But I find that when women, they want to do this God's way, but they get this concept of coming underneath the umbrella, and they might respond this way of saying, well, that's fine if you're married to Jesus, but what if a man, his umbrella is full of gaping holes. His umbrella is broken. Women can feel frightened and feel very vulnerable when they're asked to stand underneath this very faulty umbrella. And I struggled with that concept, not because I was experiencing it, but even when I was only 16 and first heard that analogy of, that does not sound like a good place to go. But then I later learned that's not the whole picture. And when we hear the whole picture, everything changes. The rest of the picture is this. If a woman in obedience to God will come underneath that broken umbrella, what God will do is put above all of that his very big, perfect umbrella. And she is really not vulnerable at all because she is under God's umbrella of protection and provision.
Mm, beautiful.
So if she will do that as honoring to the Lord, and the thing is, if she will not come underneath her husband's umbrella, then she does not come underneath God's umbrella of his promises. So something very simple like that helps to take away our fear and helps us to walk in stronger truth.
Right, right. And you also talk a lot in your ministry about the tabernacle and the picture that is of our relationship with God, too.
Yes, I have been so wanting to encourage marriages, but also to encourage all women in their hunger for holiness. And it's interesting to me that the Hebrew word for marriage and sanctification are the same.
Mm.
For marriage and holiness, marriage is such a picture of God's holiness. And I have learned so much by studying the ancient tabernacle, which seems kind of strange to us initially, but to find that if we learn to pray right through each piece of furniture, that as we do that, we move into intimacy with God. And there's just so much in there, but that God has just opened the path, spelled out very well how to get to know him intimately.
Hmm. Beautiful. And I just love the tabernacle and haven't really studied it in that way. So that's a new thought for me to pray through the pieces of the furniture. But there's so much that tabernacle model for us to learn from. A final peg of your kind of, and you come at your training with women a lot through bringing the truths of the Old Testament into the light of the New Testament. And a final one that we want to just touch on for a minute here is covenant making.
Yes, I do find that when we understand what covenant is, it opens up to us in a whole new way what it means when God says that he loves us. And we understand that his love is a love where he chooses us. We kind of get the idea that God loves us. We hear that. We get that in our head. But we almost get to the point of we think, well, that's God's job. He's a nice guy. It's his job to love us. And we don't understand that when he made this blood covenant, he was choosing us, and he has great desire for us. And learning to understand what his love really is for us is very healing. And a lot of that comes through understanding covenant.
Mm-hmm. Judah, what's been one, or I'm sorry, I called you Judah, Tammy. What's been one of the most pivotal lessons for you personally?
Well, I will tell you another one of the things that I call secrets, which applies to married women, but to all women, and trying to watch our time, too.
Mm-hmm.
But the secret of the arrows is this, that other people can sometimes send very sharp arrows into our lives, things that cause us pain, their actions or their words. And even though an arrow can hurt when it hits us, it cannot poison us. It really cannot harm us because the shaft of that arrow is empty. Always, always, always is empty. But we are the ones who decide how it is filled. We can hand every single arrow that hits us to God, and he promises to fill it entirely with blessing.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
But if we do not give that arrow to God, then it does function in our lives as curse, so to speak, as harm, because we put into that arrow bitterness and resentment and unforgiveness. But we must recognize that we were the ones that filled that arrow with curse ourselves.
Mm. So, what a beautiful picture of responsibility, really. It's so true, though. It's so true. Because God promises
that
even the worst thing, he can turn for good.
Absolutely. And those promises come from Deuteronomy 23:5 and Genesis 50:20, and everyone knows Romans 8:28. But when we understand those things, then we don't have to be fearful of those arrows or resent them. We just need to keep giving them to God, and he will fill them with blessing.
Mm, so beautiful. Tammy, our time is up, but thank you so much for joining us. And listeners, to learn more about what we've been talking about here, visit Tammy's website over at manaformarriage.com. And you spell out the word for, manaformarriage.com. And also check out her page at womenspeakers.com, and she'd be a wonderful person for you to invite for a retreat or a women's event. Thank you so much, Tammy, for joining us.
Thank you, Marnie, and God bless you.
Okay, and everybody, you have a wonderful day, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.